Not chewy.
Yeah, all right.
Looks like we're live, Anita, and then you're gonna go to mute, I think you said?
No, I'm off camera, but I am, I have my sound on because I'm also recording.
Have face on.
Okay, so,
Not chewy.
I shall now call the Downtown Advisory Board meeting for February the 11th. Looks like we're live, Anita?
Yes, we're live.
And then you're gonna go to mute, I think you said?
All right.
No, I'm off camera, but I am.
So Erin, if at any point you wanna give me some advice, feel free to chime in.
I think my advice is we all have sympathy for whoever's trying to lead these conversations, especially on Zoom, and you're gonna do great.
Well, I do know I can talk. I may not be able to lead conversations, but I certainly can talk. All right, so I'm going to call, I've called the meeting to order and I will do roll call. Erin?
Present.
Vincenzo is not present. Joshua is not present. Tyson?
Hi, Linda, present.
And Charles?
I'm here.
And Brad?
Here.
Scott?
Here.
Linda is present. And Jordan?
Right here.
All right, I think we have a quorum and we're all now roll called. So, with that, do we need to next approve the minutes from last?
Let's do the agenda first, Linda.
Thank you. See, this is why I need your help. So, have you all received the agenda and minutes and have had a chance to review them?
Yes.
Thank you for the answer, Scott. And do I hear a motion for approving the meeting agenda for today?
So moved.
And a second.
Second.
Thank you. So moved by Erin, seconded by Scott. And we have that completed. So now the minutes from the meeting on the 28th, yep. Thursday, January 28th.
Linda, you need to hold the vote for the agenda. We have a first and a second, but you have to vote on it.
Thank you. See, I knew I needed help. We have a motion and a second. All that approve the agenda, please say yes or thumbs up. All right, any opposed? All right, that has been approved. I have to scroll through all of the thumbs up. All right, now we get to move to the minutes, correct?
Correct.
And so, has anybody have any corrections or questions on the minutes?
Move to approve the minutes from the last meeting.
Thank you, Erin. And do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Again, Scott, thank you for the second. And then we need to vote. So thumbs up or a yes for meeting minutes. All right, I see thumbs up. And it looks like we have the minutes from last meeting approved. All right. So I think that is the completion of the opening exercises. Is that correct?
Correct.
That's opening. And there are no action items. And the information reports you have provided us. Does everyone have a copy of the draft that Cherie sent? Or access to it? My guess is I looked down, so I had thumbs up. Thank you very much. Thanks for the thumbs up. All right. Erin, I need a bigger desk to get this all in front of me.
Or you need like three or four monitors like I have.
Yeah, that's in fact, I've tried to get a second one up, but it goes down so quick that it doesn't stay up. So at this point, it looks like we can have our presenters provide information on the budget? Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. So as you know, Renee Frazier, who has been our partner in going over budget discussions, took a different position and left the city. So Callie has been graciously filling in and doing, helping us, even though she has a full-time job in the budget office for the city. At the last meeting that we had, I gave you information on where we were, kind of giving you a heads up in regards to this fund, because I think we all know that we were going to be in a challenging situation when we had this budget discussion. I think that those of you that have been on the board, this is very disheartening, because it's taken a long time to get the parking fund budget to a point where we were able to have a discussion like we've had the last couple of years, where we actually were talking about where we would put money, extra money, as far as into reserves or supporting of other promotional economic development activities within the parking fund, which are eligible activities with that fund. So, I really appreciate Callie, because I'm sure this is not a budget that if I was filling in for somebody and I really didn't have a clue of any history, that I would want to have to go through today. But as you can see, she is focused on essentials. And I think the other thing that I need to share with you is that I sent out the capital project production after the last meeting. Josh had one. I think everybody else had one. As you will see in this budget, there are no capital projects proposed. I went to facilities and talked to them about the projects that had been on the list and if those could be deferred or not, and they indicated they could. So that's why you're not seeing them there. But again, at the last meeting, I shared that when we've had challenges in the past, Riverfront stepped in and paid for capital projects. So next year when we have this discussion, I'm pretty sure that we won't be able to not do the projects that we were proposing to do this year. And I'm pretty sure next year we'll have a challenge again. So just know that when we have the Riverfront budget discussion, there's a very high probability that you will see in Riverfront the capital cost for a parking structure. So I think that, anyway, Callie, thank you so much in advance for stepping in and doing this for us. Yes, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you. Happy to be here. As Sheree said, I'm Callie Reinenbach. I'm the Senior Fiscal Analyst in the Budget Office, and I am helping out UD in the interim until they can find a permanent financial services manager. So let me just share my screen.
Callie, do you have a preference on how you want to handle the questions? Do you want to go through it and have them wait till the end, or as you're going through, what's your preference?
It's fine. If you have questions about what we're talking about, I think popping in is fine. So as you can see, can you see this? I don't know how this works. Can you see the people on the screen when I share my screen, or you just see the document?
I can see both. I think it depends upon how people have their meeting set up. I have people covering my draft proposed. I can see the other two columns, but not that one, Callie, but I have the hard copy in front of me.
Okay. Is that better?
Didn't change.
Okay. I'll just keep going. So as you can see, the fund balance has been getting lower over the years and goes to zero in the proposed budget because as Sheree was describing, we're most likely going to have a shortfall for this fiscal year. based on expenses and how things are trending, and that revenues are trending lower. As you can see, parking tax collections, the budget included some level of reduction from the prior year, and collections have been even lower than that already lower projection for the budget. One thing happened with parking permits and parking rent. So that's been a definite challenge for the fund, is lower revenue due to a decrease in activity downtown. One thing I did want to point out is I am showing some level of recovery in the proposed budget for those items. Where I sit in the budget office, each year we speak with an economist and get an overall picture of how things are looking for Salem. And based on his recommendations that we included in the financial forecasts this year, he was comfortable showing some level of recovery about mid-fiscal year next year, and that's what we included in the forecast. And so that's similar to what I included here. As Sheree described, this is really a hold-the-line budget. Unfortunately, there are expenses in the parkades that are more than anticipated this year. More services for cleaning and garbage removal and things like that. So that has pushed these line items, or I'm projecting that these line items will go over budget. So this is all fairly standard. I know that some people might have questions about the indirect cost allocation plan. That is a set cost that is based on services provided to this fund, or it's like finance services, human resources services, and human resources not so much for this fund, but overall management of the city. So that's a share, this fund's share of those types of services. And then the downtown clean team and the holiday services. As Sheree said, this is really a hold-the-line budget. So I did want to point out, Sheree already said this, there's no capital projects or a capital fund contribution included in the proposed budget or the draft budget. And we're projecting issues with the fund as overspending this year. So those are the highlights that I had to provide.
Sheree, do you have any questions of Tucker, or does anyone on the board have any questions?
I just want to talk a little bit about the cleaning, because the increase just in this year is significant. Just today, in fact, I don't think I have the heart to respond. If you've seen Marion Parkade, it's like everything that happened over at Rite Aid has moved over to Marion around the perimeter. And it's been that way for quite a while. I got a email from a facilities person sending pictures that they had power washed and how good it looked. I had no idea, actually, and I'll tell you why. Because at 10:30, this morning it was awful around Marion. And I really wanted to take pictures because we're going to be implementing security in the parkades 24/7. And we've been talking about, in order for security firms to provide services, we would need to clean up that perimeter so they at least have a chance of walking around and asking people to move along or trying to keep it in better condition. But I didn't want to go over there and take pictures this morning in the dark alone, even though I don't usually have a problem. There was so much more trash. I just didn't feel comfortable. So I waited until 10:30 and asked a parking enforcement officer to go over with me. So we took pictures, and on the southwest corner there, the smell from the urine, because that's the closest to where a lot of the homeless are sleeping, I even with my mask on, her and I had to, we just about ran through the area, and I was thinking, I need to come back and let people know it's really bad there for washing it down. So we took pictures on the west side, we took pictures on the south side, and then on the east side, there's individuals too. You know, we're talking chairs and anyway. So when I got back, I asked her to send me those pictures because I was going to pick them out. And then I saw these pictures and everybody feeling so good about power washing and people moving away around Marion. I don't have the heart now to turn around and have a clue of that moment you had, because there's the picture from 10:30. So just in that short period of time, it went from a moment to being awful. And I know that Garden, the number of sacks that they're picking up daily of the trash, and I know I pick it up out front when it's really bad and you can't get in the door. I can't explain the significant increase. I don't know where it comes from. We all talk about that. So I know how much more cleaning has had to be done. And of course, somebody has to do it. And I know we've increased, I think Callie and Kristen, we were in that meeting, I think they've increased power washing in the stairwells. I think it used to be like once a month, and it might be once or twice a week, which probably it could be done every day, and we would still have an issue. So we're hoping that the security will help in this fiscal year with the trash. We're hoping that if there's people providing those security services, it will be a disincentive for people to be dropping and leaving their trash, so we can get some of these costs down, because as you can see, already in the negative. I mean, we're projecting a negative, so we're starting out behind for next year. And I, with the exception of just what, two line items, everything else is like not something I think we can even hint at not providing. Certainly the downtown parking holiday, that was putting up the banner on Liberty Parkade and putting up the holiday banners. And the parking security services, that only cost $3,400 because I only did it over the holidays to try to help minimize costs. And now the cost for this 24/7, it's my understanding from Kristen, because she's also listening to the meeting, because I figured you were going to ask, how are we going to deal with the deficit we have in this year? I mean, where is the $223,000 coming from? And it's my understanding from her that because of so much of it is related to the homeless and impacts to the homeless with COVID, that we have an opportunity to take some COVID CARE Act monies to apply towards this.
Cherie, I'll jump in here.
Oh,
for a second. We've got two fund sources that we're looking at, and I'd say decisions haven't been made yet. We're still having discussions with the budget office and the city manager's office, but you know what we're experiencing downtown in the parking district has a huge impact to the parking fund, but it's not solely a parking district or parking fund issue. It's a city issue, and it's a COVID issue. With it all of these things sort of stacking on each other and ultimately having a pretty big impact to the parking garages. So what we're looking at is general fund and CARES Act funding and future allocations of CARES Act funding to fill the gap this year and to fund for next year, and also to fund the services that will hopefully prevent some of the the litter and damage and the cost for cleaning that we have been incurring, you know, because right now we're looking at numbers. We're not even, so we're just over halfway through the fiscal year and we're, you know, more than double on our, some of our anticipated costs for cleaning on the parkades because it's, the impact's gone up so much. There are a lot of reasons for those increased impacts, in part due to the impacts of COVID, which is where we think that the CARES Act funding could come into play to help meet some of these needs. And then the other, you know, and as we sort of, you know, start spinning that out, you know, the other part of those impacts is, right now our jails are, because of COVID, aren't taking all of the people that are arrested that in the past may have been jailed. And so it makes it harder from a law enforcement standpoint to be able to respond to situations, to some of the vandalism and trespass issues that in the past would have, you know, moved people from the actions that they're taking in the downtown to incarceration for a period of time. That's just not an option right now because of jail closures. And so because of those COVID impacts being so far above and beyond what we had anticipated last fiscal year, and the decrease in payments due to businesses being out of business and permit holders working from home and not paying for permits, and then the increased costs, makes the general fund and CARES Act funds the best sources that we have to fill that gap and to carry into next year. So we're not anticipating that we'll see a significant change in the next 9 months or so with this issue. So there's my good news.
Yay!
Yeah. Kristen, was there a rough dollar amount for that that you're looking at?
Yeah, we're looking at this year around $200,000 and probably close to $300,000 for next year.
Oh, wonderful.
It kind of makes sense to me from the standpoint that the CARES Act is, you know, it's trying to mitigate against COVID issues. And obviously, we're not bringing in the revenue we would normally bring in on parking because of COVID. Yet we still have an increase in our the indirect cost allocation from staff support. That seems like the obvious one to me, where the CARES Act would, that seems like its intended purpose should help cover that.
Yeah, so I think the strategy that we're heading towards right now is to tap what CARES Act funding we can. And some of that's going to be dependent on the next version of the CARES Act and what flows to cities. And then general funds for what we don't have enough CARES Act to cover.
Is there you said it's maybe double already, but the cleaning, I think it would be helpful just for all of our frame of reference to have an idea of what, even if it's not the exact cost, but what the cost is for the increased cleaning and security, even just for Marion Parkade. A side note, can you also remind us, I thought there was the camping ban, I thought that was supposed to alleviate it. So help us understand where that's to.
Okay. So a few parts to your questions there. So the first piece, just looking at Marion, in terms of security, we are out requesting proposals right now. So we don't have the cost for the added security. So we'll have to share that with you at an upcoming meeting. In terms of cleaning, I think that we were at about $1,000. Callie, you might have to help me here with specifics. That, you know, we were looking at around $1,000 a month for pressure washing, and that's gone up every time they come out. It's about that much. So if they're out there weekly, then, you know, you're looking at about $4,000 a month as opposed to $1,000 a month, just depending on the frequency that we have folks coming out there. We've got another consultant that also comes out and does other sorts of support and cleaning to assist the facilities department. And so I'll give Callie some time to look up the numbers as comparisons between this year and last year and have her come back. And I'll answer your other question about the ordinance. And an ordinance is only good if it has teeth. And the teeth was intended to be that you could be trespassed if you were not compliant with the ordinance. And so the next level for a trespass then would be you could be arrested and lodged. If the jail is not holding people for that type of offense, the ordinance has no teeth and people will ignore it because they know that there is really no practical consequence for them other than a citation that they're not going to pay anyway. So, you know, right now, the jails are only holding and lodging folks that are very serious offenders. Trespass, sheltering on sidewalks in violation of an ordinance does not rise to that level. And so I don't know, Callie, have you had an opportunity to pull up the number this year for those costs?
So, you know, I'm working on it, but okay. If you would like more detail, I would be happy to do some more research and prepare a document for your next meeting. That might be easier, if that works.
Yeah, so Erin, there's two things, because as you can see, this is maintenance, which would mean things like elevator servicing, not just cleaning, but so again, I don't know if those costs have gone up, but the routine maintenance includes maintenance items too. So if there's something that I know, like out here in the back by these elevators, Cedar Mill came in and I think the project was $21,000 because some drain and all the pavers had to be removed. So they have ongoing projects like that. And certainly, unfortunately, because of the homeless, things get broken by them in the parking structures too. And in fact, it gets fixed and then it gets broken again, similar to, you know, the trash receptacle challenges, because people are in them or using them in the wrong way. But yeah, that would be great, Callie, if you could come back, because there's the regular cleaning, there's the power washing, there's the window washing of the Marion Arcade, and then there's the maintenance items.
So I looked at just January for the power washing, and last January 2020, we paid about $3,200. This January, we paid almost $7,000 just for power washing. So, I mean, that's just a small idea of what's been ongoing, but I'd be happy to prepare more information and bring it back.
That may end up being helpful when soliciting funds through the CARES Act to have that separated. So that'd be great. I'm assuming that would be needed. I don't mean to be devil's advocate, but I have a question. So if we have security around Marion Parkade, what prevents the ongoing need for power washing a block over from there, or back over by Rite Aid? You know, because we can't have any teeth on management, is that part of the reason why we want to look forward to 2022 and 23 and potentially using CARES Act, because it's just going to maybe be moving you around?
So we're looking at having security in the three parking district garages and having them circulating around the garages. And under the theory, and we'll see if this proves to be true, that with increased presence and increase being prompted to move along and told that they can't settle in there, that people won't be settling in and accumulating things the way that they have in the past. So, you know, I always kind of use the analogy of my dad, who was a high school teacher for his career. And his philosophy was always that if he had kids that were going to be acting out or behaving in some way in the classroom, he would go stand next to their desk And he wouldn't really need to do much more than that, but just by standing there, they would kind of shape up and start complying, right? So the goal is to have just an increased presence, because we've seen it in other locations around downtown, in areas that are more active and more people, you don't tend to have as big of a concentration. But in areas where you don't have as much pedestrian traffic, and the Rite Aid frontage is one of those areas, around Marion Parkade is another one, there's less disturbance for them, less disruption. And so it's easier to start kind of settling in those locations. So this won't really address the Rite Aid frontage. We're not scoping out and bidding to have security to deal with the private property there or those sidewalks, but just the parkades right now.
Okay.
And they would be moving through, and it would be 24/7, at least for the first few months.
Okay. Well, good to know that there are going to be potential of funding to help pay for those services that are needed. Anybody else have any questions or?
Did we, Cherie, did you email us that proposed budget? Or am I seeing, I look.
This one that we're going through?
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Okay. I'm looking at, is it the one that says Downtown Parking Fund FY 2021? Project budget?
It basically has our budget that we got approved last year, what we're looking at we're going to pay this year, and then the draft of expense of the cost and revenue for next year. It's a big one. You know, it comes out by that 11 by 17 when you print it. Thanks to Dana always needing it in big font.
So Aaron, just underneath the Downtown Parking Fund, I believe what it is, the numbers are 170-2.
Yeah, I found it. I had your email from Sheree. I had your email from last week or something. Looking at
different documents. Well, I sent you, the first one I sent you was last year's and the capital project list, and then just yesterday I sent this new one.
Yes. I guess I should start dating them if I print them off. Put my own date on it. Does anybody have anything else to ask or present? Or Cherie, do you have anything?
Well, I think we just need to circle back with Kelly on those two items that I talked about, the 3,500, she just, assumed and put those in because obviously she has to start someplace. But I think it would be helpful to her so that she can come back with one that, is the one that we want to approve. So I guess, do you want to have any money in there for downtown parking? And obviously the security, we're dealing with that a little bit differently right now anyway. And again, we didn't use that full 10,000. But I guess to give her guidance, we should at least.
Well, there's other maintenance issues that you've also pointed out. So we certainly need some money in there. I would think we have the 10,000 you say coming over.
Well, under contracted services, we have gardens. And then we had last year a small amount of money that went towards putting up the banner up on Liberty Parkade that, advertises free parking. And then the parking security services, I just used the 3,400 this year to have it over the holiday season. There won't be any more than the 3,400 that you'll see in this year's cost. And again, based on what is being proposed between now and probably the end of the fiscal year, depending on funding, we're going to be putting in, 24/7 for,
security.
30, 60 days, yes, to try to change behaviors, as Kristen talked about. So I'm not sure if you want a placeholder in here and put money in when we're already in the negative and we're just trying to focus on those high priority items of cleaning and maintaining, not doing any capital projects in the parkades.
Will the security be a contracted service?
Yes.
I mean, okay, and will that reduce the police expenditure?
No.
Okay.
Different level of service. You know, security people can't arrest somebody. They're there to try to help move people along and be eyes and ears and have a presence like Kristen spoke about, but the police provide a different level of service. And I think that, I guess, is this less, Callie, than what we've paid in the past? I think we used to pay $300, and now the last couple of years we've reduced. Am I right on that?
That's correct. Yeah,
okay, that's what I thought. It was higher. Yeah. Okay. So, Scott, we have reduced it. I think it's probably, we used to pay for more than two, and now probably this is two.
Yeah, it was up to $340,000 in fiscal year 1920, and this fiscal year has kind of dropped down to $200,000.
So there's a couple of other ones under expenditures that I, like there's striping meters, landscape maintenance, miscellaneous downtown repairs. I'm pretty sure when I've asked in the past about landscape maintenance, it was parks dealing with the or the plants around Marion Parkade. We don't really have any landscaping that they do around here, around Chemeketa. So I don't know what the actual is, but I don't think we ever, I don't bill to that. So I don't know if they just do, but I think the last time I checked on that, they don't have anything in their system on a routine basis. So we might want to look into that, Callie. As far as meters, we have just a few meters left, but we also now have the one penny station. And then the miscellaneous downtown repairs, that's basically been the line item to deal with removal of a broken bench, a removal of a broken planter, things like that. I doubt if we've used that much, but we would always want to keep something in there because those things come up for us every year. And we have to pay to have public works staff come and remove broken landscaping furniture and items. But I don't know, maybe Callie, we can, I mean, I feel like it's nothing. But
I double checked with Public Works, and they did want to keep some funding in there for landscape maintenance. I don't see that we've been charged anything this year.
No, I don't know what they would have done. I don't know what they do for that, except for when I asked the last time, they mentioned because there's privets or something around Marion, they go in and prune them. But yeah, I can understand they want to keep something in there, but maybe. Again, it's still nothing, but those I don't bill. I mean, I've checked into them and I don't think they need to be that high. It's not gonna fill the $300,000 cap.
So Callie, when you spoke with Public Works, did they give you an amount or did they just say, oh, they want something? They didn't indicate what it would be.
Let me pull up the email. So, yeah, they said they would like to keep it at $3,000 for next year's budget.
So they did give you a dollar amount?
Mm-hmm.
So this is what I'll do for you, board. Because I can't answer the question what the scope is behind that $3,000, I will circle back. And because I feel like I can't answer the question because the last time I asked,
That's what I was told. Maybe there's something there that they're providing that I don't know, and I'll try to get that for you. Did you get that from Jennifer Keller, Kellerman?
No, I got it from Marla, who's their analyst.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, Cherie, will our next meeting be focused again on the budget, reviewing the budget? Is that, will be that be the primary focus of our next meeting, the end of this month?
Yes, your next meeting will be, Callie will bring this forward with any revisions that you guys want her to, or answers to questions. And then on the agenda, you'll see approval as an action item of the parking fund budget. And then you'll see a discussion on Riverfront. So you'll see Riverfront, you'll approve parking and visit Riverfront.
And I know that that's only 2 weeks away, but hopefully we could get that a few days before the meeting so that we have, everyone has time to review it and ready to ask questions if possible. So that'd be nice if we could get it a few days early.
Kelly, you know, again, there's no way I would make a commitment on somebody else's workload, especially when they're doing their full-time job at helping us, but again, she was nice enough to get us this one in advance of the meeting, and again, there wasn't as much this year to talk about on this one. On the Riverfront one, what I'll try to do is I'll try to kick you out a memo early to speak to those projects that I would like as new projects. And I'll give you a brief overview of why you're going to see them in there. Because some of them, you know, they're in our budgets every year, like the Union Street Bike Friendly Project. It's been there for 3 or 4 years. So that one's just a matter of it's underway. And again, our grant program, some of those every year, we just refund those because they're great to have. And we want, and Streetscape, it's a given. But then there's a couple of new ones that I wanted to talk to you about. So I'll put those in a memo to let you know what it is in advance.
That would be really helpful. For me, I like to look at it ahead of time, but it's really helpful to be having the discussion, and then that will oftentimes sort of fine tune what questions I might be wanting to ask. So having it a little early is nice, if possible. But we appreciate all that Callie has done and what we're asking her to do ahead of time. And as soon as she can, when would be great, whenever she can get it to us or to use to get to us.
So I already have significant work done on the draft budget for Riverfront. So getting it to you guys a few days early should not be a problem.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Appreciate you stepping in to do this. We wouldn't have anything to look at if you didn't do it.
Can I, for the benefit of those who were not here together with Dana during some of these budget parking fund discussions, Cherie or whoever wants to, could you explain the indirect cost allocation? Who picks that number? Who approves that? Does it go through budget committee, or is it because I understand basically from the past it's a number that we don't get to debate.
I mean, this is how it is in my head, because obviously as staff to the board from the get-go, that was like the first question, you know, 16 years ago I had a board member ask. And I left thinking, you can't influence it. But then the next year it comes up. So in my simpleton ways, I think of it as, it isn't just us that makes these things happen. We have legal, and we have finance, and we have HR, and we have departments that do not have any revenue source. They those support services and IT, they don't have a permit that they sell to pay for their services that they provide. And so each year they would look at how many transactions that they probably supported this on, and then they give those costs. I don't know, Kelly, you can fill in here. Anyway, then somebody takes and wraps all that up, because all those support departments have to be funded in some way. And that's what I understand is indirect. So again, legal helps us, IT provides software and programs for us, finance helps us. We have HR in a cumulative way, and that is what is in there. I'm assuming that because every department would have these kind of costs, that when they start putting these things together, somebody at a higher level than me does say, hey, you know, this is a huge increase. Somebody better be talking to me. You know, what did you, is there anything we could do to, you know, maybe we should stop calling somebody if that's what it's going to cost. Unfortunately, last year, I think we had this moment, and I think I did turn around and ask, am I doing anything that I could stop doing to contribute to it? And I was told, no, it doesn't work like that either. So, you know, Callie, am I missing something? Because I understand that this is always a line item that is questioned.
It is. And every fund pays this ICAP charge. And it is set every year after a very thorough analysis. And it's flowed through a model and then assigned a cost to every fund based on a variety of factors. And it is, Cherie's right, it is to reimburse a general fund for support services. Services that every fund uses. And Cherie's right, general fund services don't technically have a funding source, a dedicated funding source, so yes. It's to reimburse the general fund for those, for use of those services.
Thank you.
Thank you for asking, Erin. I remember Dana was very helpful last year when we were going through this, at least helping me understand some of the items. So I appreciate you making that ask. Anybody have anything else?
So I just want to say to Tyson and all the new people, it's kind of like, not that any of us would ever do it, but when you have an F or a D grade, you can always get better. It seems like you can improve it, versus when you have an A, it's so much harder to maintain the A. Not that I want to have an F report card, but there's got to be, this will be better. In the entire time I've worked here and had anything to do with the parking fund, I've never experienced this. So this is not the norm. This fund, and I know in my orientations with all of you, this fund, this model, the parking tax model, is broken. It has been for a long time. We've had parking task force look at different models. And again, that's why it always circles back to, it would be great if we had a paid system, if this was set up different, as a different type of fund, and the businesses weren't taxed. But this is the worst I've ever seen. And we will get better. I guess that's, we can do better. We will do better.
It seems like there's just a lot of uncontrollable events that have led to the downturn in revenue and increased costs. And like you said, there's not many line items that could really be adjusted.
Yeah.
So our hands are pretty tied. So. hopefully those funds come through for the CARES Act and we can
general fund
lean on those for the time being.
Yeah, well, there's always room for improvement and one way to go from here, so
that's it.
We'll figure it out as a team.
Well, again, we thank everybody for all the work that they do for this and for the board reviewing it. Anything else that we want to discuss for the draft budget and now at this time and before our next meeting?
You know, I would just like to thank the board for your support with this. I know, you know, with Cherie, that she is such a professional and devotes herself so thoroughly to the work of the city and to the downtown area and the parking fund. And it is really hard as a staff person to come forward to a board with a situation like this. It's very, very difficult. And it's hard personally, you know, for somebody that has the work ethic and integrity that she has. And then for Callie as well to come in as a helping hand, you know, to our department to help us get through this recruitment and time period and step into a situation of, you know, having all of the different budgets that our department has to prepare and all the different funds we have, and to step into a situation like our parking fund, which is gruesome. I mean, that's really the only way to describe the situation that we have encountered this year. So your support is very, very appreciated. So thank you all.
Thank you. Well, should we move on to what's happening downtown?
Well, what I wanted to do, oh, Callie, you can, I know you're so busy, you don't have to stay on the meeting. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Callie.
So what I wanted to do is just brainstorm for a second about, have you guys given some thought to how we might be able to generate anything in a parking garage? I know Rebecca and I talked about it, and you know, it is a parking garage, and maybe I should check to see if we could, you know, have some type of garage sale in the parking garage where somebody pays a small fee to rent out a couple of the parking spaces and come and bring your wares and whatever. And it's outside and people could walk around, or and I actually went online to see if there was anything that they've done with parking lodges. Actually, a lot has been done with parking lots, but that's not what I was interested in. But one of the pictures I saw was pretty cool. It looked very similar to the market in Seattle in regards to the types of vendors and stuff. And again, you know, we have this resource. It's not generating much right now. I'm just interested in hearing if you guys have any ideas that I should try to see if I could make happen.
I think you should tell Gambretti's, since they're in a parking garage, basically, that they could have rooftop dining.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, most people want covered.
Yeah, put a tent up there, but they don't have any place to put a tent.
They have that whole plaza.
I know, it's so not narrow, or it's so narrow. I'm just saying, we give Basil and Board a run for its money with another rooftop dining.
That's true. I think OLCC, now that unfortunately Chris and I have been up to our eyeballs, and you too, Charles, expanded seeing what you can and cannot do, how you have to have some accessibility and be within a certain distance, especially if you're going to serve alcohol. I'm not sure that they could say that they're close enough to get to the roof and back with alcohol, but they have not approached me.
OLCC needs to change from a 2D model to a 3D model. Aaron, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay, now you have to give me a different example, please, Charles.
I mean, I start with my best. That's all I got.
Something like for Chumetida or even, I don't know, Marion on the north side. There's...
Yeah, have Rudy's move his tent up there. It's already popular. He can charge more because it'll be on the roof. The mall food court can move to the top of the other one. It's a done deal.
Have you been in the mall food court? There's only two, I think.
Everyone loves Auntie Anne's. We just moved those up there.
It's so sad.
Sky pretzels.
Yeah, I think there's only two or three vendors left in the food court. They're all gone, but three. It's so sad.
They had rooftop dining.
Okay, moving from Charles, somebody else. Linda, help me.
Well, you know, I think the idea, you know, I like the idea of the garage sale, and people are very interested in flea markets, and it's amazing how many there are people that collect things and then want to show them. So, you know, a flea market in the garage could work, especially, you know, being able to walk around if somebody can get their tables balanced because of the incline spaces. But I think that it could be done if the tables aren't large. But I, again, how do we market for that? Do you just, how do you start letting people know? Do you create the event, or do you ask somebody to create the event? How do you go about it?
Well, hello, I suppose. And I know Rebecca is here. I mean, we don't have any money. It's not like I could turn around and hire somebody to do this. I probably would go to Lisa Sherman, who does the Saturday market, because the 2 weekends that she did it out back here in this area, she said it was hopping. And I felt really bad that she wasn't able to do that over the
holidays.
It was like brilliant. It's undercover, it's outside. So I would probably reconnect with her to see if that would be, you know, does she have any thoughts about that, a flea market? And again, we don't have to have one thing.
Yeah.
It would be nice though, if it was something that, even if it was once a month, people would count on it. Mm-hmm. Just like first Wednesday or first Friday or something. That way people could plan on it, and it would just be a regular
event.
Yeah, thing that people were interested in doing. There's also things like, I you know, does the Salem Art Association, they didn't have their fair, but would they do something smaller if they had a, you know, a location to do it? I don't know. Anything that,
or if they have artisans, a list of artisans that would want to go ahead and set up something, you know, I mean, if they can coordinate that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if people would be interested in, you know, paying for a space and doing chalk art, and then we can have people walk through and look at the chalk art. I noticed in some of the stuff I researched, a lot of people are walking parking structures as a form of just getting out.
Exercise. Yeah.
Different because they've been cooped up so much. That's certainly what I do because it rains a lot here. So come on.
How about the Humane Society having a dog fair for adoptable dogs?
Yeah,
when I was in Scotland, the reason this all came up, there was a car boot sale in the parking structures there, and it was the coolest thing I had ever seen. And they literally, the cars just pull up, they paid 15 euros for a spot, and they like opened up their trunks. It felt very risque, but it was awesome. And it was completely full. It is extremely busy. It was one of the most popular things to do in Edinburgh in the fall. If you Google Edinburgh car boot sale, it'll pop up immediately. And we didn't purchase a lot, obviously, because we were flying, but it was really neat. And I just thought maybe that could be, we have a garage, and why not have a real garage sale, essentially. So just things like that.
Great idea.
Yeah, we were talking about that.
That is a great idea.
The one thing, this is Jordan, the one thing I keep circling back to is trying to come up with ideas for things to do in a parking garage. And the city staff and a lot of the members of the board and people who are supplying information, a lot of this is volunteer time. and with staff being overloaded with the workload as it is, bringing on potential opportunities for people to have a marketplace and to do things and to have a leasing type of system is going to consume a lot of time and a lot of resources. It would almost be more conceivable in my real estate mind to take a look at a garage that may be only half full with half the permits sold and look to lease out a portion, half of or a floor or a portion of a or one or more garages to let a third party handle all of that aspect, to kind of remove that component from the boards and the cities, you know, list of things to do by, you know, reviewing who somebody is, what do they want to do, collecting rent, making sure they have insurance, all of the aspects that are kind of aligned with all of that, and to open it up as an opportunity for somebody else who's creative, who has an idea, who has a marketing plan, who has a somewhat of a business plan, to be able to utilize a floor or 100 or 10,000 square feet of one of the parking garages to just generate revenue for the city, for the parking services, so that the city isn't trying to collect, that it's got a monthly income that it can count on. So just kind of thinking about some of the challenges that could be in line with that and how to overcome some of them.
Well, for the market out back, Jordan, that's what we did. You know, we did a permit of entry and they're on their own. You know what I mean? They set up, they took down, they brought the porta potty. We didn't do that. And certainly there are benefits to exactly what you said. It's just working with legal to figure out what we can and cannot do. Historically, we haven't leased out the parking because we have an obligation to the permit holders, you know, and we've never reserved because we always wanted to make sure if we had the demand, we had control of those spaces, because we've always oversold more spaces in good times than we had. If you reserve spaces, you can't do that because somebody's paying to have a space when they get in, versus you come in, you find the first space that's available to you. So it would have to be something that, you know, we're in the realm of, if things get really good again, can we make, you know, it has to be some short-term thing. But I'm open to anything for a whole bunch of reasons to invigorate. And again, you know, like Kristen said, we wouldn't have probably the issues that we have if something was happening. There's just nothing happening. And Marion is the worst because it's over in a darker, less populated area for people walking around. So there's more things that are being done that are not appropriate.
And I guess the way my thought process is working, instead of the city or parking trying to figure out how to generate revenue or be profitable out of this, put that on somebody else's way. Let somebody else figure out how to have a profitable or thriving business by bringing that into a designated space. And looking at the permits, it looks like most of the garages are about half capacity. And I understand what you're saying. This is not a long-term thing. There will be more parking. There will be more cars. But if we're at half capacity, if we could designate a floor or two floors for parking and then the third or the top floor for events, and put that cost of cleanup and general maintenance for that portion or that area within the garage onto a tenant who's maybe a 12-month lease, maybe a month-to-month lease, to have them not only do that, but also to provide a presence, which would also act as a deterrence for, you know, other people that we then have to pay for to clean up after. So, you know, I'm just trying to think outside of the box. I'm not saying this is what we need to do, but it's a...
Yeah, no, great. It's a great concept if there's a way that they can divvy up the parking structure to accommodate that. I think it's a good idea. Thank you.
Yeah, it's hard in some because, you know, the way you go in, you have to touch, you know, depending on where you're going, you have to touch every floor. because we had this challenge when we were looking at Physique Fitness in Pringle. They were looking at wanting to take a portion of a floor in Pringle so that they could continue to do fitness. And it was really tough because they needed a level surface. And the way you go around that parking, you have to leave the driveways open because, you know, to just, even if you closed it off a whole floor, depending on where it is, you still need it to get cars around. But, you know, I just think that we should be doing exactly what Jordan's doing. Throw the spaghetti on the walls, and I can, you know, Rebecca and I can run it up the flagpole and see legal, you know, it's always the legal challenges that might be involved. The parking garages, because it's a public facility, have to be open, so you can't close off a stairwell. There's all these things that I've learned over the years, but that doesn't mean that there isn't still something that wouldn't work. We just have to do what we're doing. Thank you, Jordan, so much. I really appreciate that.
Anybody else have any thoughts? Cherie, have you and Rebecca talked to legal about the car boot event? And
well, I was going to wait and see if there was more that would come out of this meeting for me to kind of run up the flagpole. The leasing piece is different than, you know, one day a month, you know, for yes. a flea market or something. So different concept, just asking for, you know, somebody to take that on for us and market it and deal with all of it. We just turned that over. That's different, but that isn't something that I personally have a problem with. Actually, if I could sell them, I would, but nobody's going to buy something that isn't generating enough money to pay for it. I mean, as some of you know, that would be the best situation on the planet if we actually had paid parking on the street, paid parking in the parking garage, and somebody came in and said, I so want that. And then we wouldn't even be talking about having to maintain something or worry about it. Somebody else would. So maybe.
Well, told Cherie about this, that I had received information from Willamette Valley Vineyards that for Valentine's Day, they were coordinating with, I don't know who the event was actually managed by, but you could go to Washington Square parking lot on Valentine's Day, drive through and pick up the food and wine you pre-ordered, and then park in the parking lot and watch romantic movies. And so this is all going to be at Washington Square parking lot. And I think the cost was either $55 or $95, something like that, for each car. And I went, wow, how could we do something using parking lot or our parking garages? The problem is, of course, you can't have a movie on every floor, and because of the rotating up, you really couldn't do that. But I thought, wow, what a great organization to organize this event to happen in a parking lot that, you know, people would probably drive to. So, I mean, I almost signed up for it. I thought, oh, that sounds like fun. But anyway, it was just, it does show you that we need to think of ways to do this. I did the zoo lights this year, where you had to stay in your car. And the same thing, you drove up if you ordered food to pick up your food so that you could then drive through and enjoy a meal while you were watching the lights. And so if we could think of something that people would drive through our parking structures, it might be fun.
You just thought you could race your car because you were at PIR. Yeah,
that new car I've got.
Well, maybe that's something we could think about for the holidays if you had enough time in advance, somehow having lights that you look at inside.
the garage.
For decorations of some sort?
Yeah. But again, that type of stuff typically takes money to get the cool little white things that they have. But yeah, I think this is great. Obviously, I have not approached Main Street Association as far as if there was a role they could play in this. A lot of it is I even have no money to give them, and that's obviously one of the things that we're not able to do with this budget this year. But I guess the main message is, you know, send whatever you're thinking. If you don't want to share it at this meeting, and you see something, kick it off to us. That would even Charles' idea. Are okay, Charles, on the roof. I mean, we could do drive-in on the roof. I would hope the screen wouldn't blow off or something. But you know, I think drive-ins, just like them being concert venues now. Who would have thought drive-ins would be so valuable? And they're pretty valuable because it's outside. So, yeah.
Well, back to Charles' thought. You know, I think have a brew fest on the roof, or you know, wine tasting on the roof for over a weekend or something. If we could encourage somebody to set that up.
And there was dancing on the roof years ago. Somebody had some kind of dance competition on the roof of Chemeketa. And I think the big concerns were you can't have tables. We didn't want people falling off with alcohol or who knows what. You know, the rules, liabilities just start coming down on the piece of paper. But the bottom line was it happened. So there you go.
All right.
So nobody fell off.
All right, everybody, if you have any ideas, please send them to Cherie. Let's see if we can make something happen.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Anything? That's all?
Well, let me think if there's what's happening. Well, hey, Linda, why don't you talk about what's happening? I love and so grateful for the tour of your building, but the leasing activity is so encouraging and very exciting also.
It really is. So Cherie led me into that. I gave her a little tour of the Nishioka building, our state on Co's on State Street. If anyone would like to take a tour, let me know. I can. I seem to be up there right now. They're just doing punch out, and it's pretty quiet in there. So I can, in very limited numbers due to COVID, I can allow a few people to come through. And
can I interrupt you there?
Yeah.
What would be the limit? Because in the past we've tried to take the whole board on tours of projects that the URA funded. I'd love it if we could do that, but I understand that there's limits in numbers.
Yeah, and I could probably do a two group, something like that, where there was maybe four. I think isn't the limit six people? It's still kind of where you can't have more than six people in a space, but
I think it depends on the space, but I think it's 10, but it depends on the, there's a lot of areas.
If we space ourselves up and we have our masks on and some take the stairs, and it really is going to be, I have to check with the superintendent to make sure there isn't any activity going on that we would be interrupting or sort of disrupting. And you know, you don't have to go through every single apartment. You can go through a floor and see the different designs and get a concept of what it is. So I'd certainly be happy to take maybe two groups, you know, like plan on two different times or a sequence, like I'm there and then I lead one and then lead the second one if anyone wants to go. They will be leasing right now. The plan is, people would be moving in March 1st, so we would need to do it fairly soon, just so that we're not interfering in that business. But after 20 days of making the announcements that applications were being accepted, they've already got 19 confirmed deposits paid, so that's going in the right direction. There has been a lot of interest in a lot of inquiries on the retail once the fence came down. Whether they're all viable or just, you know, checking it out. There hasn't been anything guaranteed yet, but that's moving along nicely from what I'm told as well.
So I know that the building that used to be the Salem Kaiser Education Foundation, it's sold. And so if you've walked down Commercial and you see that the windows all have paper in it. And so the new owner is putting in salon suites on the first floor, and then on the second floor is reconfiguring to some small office type of suite. So that's great. And then of course, next to that going north is a building that is going to be adding, it's been a while, three residential units up above. So you're probably going to start seeing that happen. I think I'll let Rebecca talk about our tour of the Reed, because it was mind-blowing. I had no idea. So I'll let her talk about that right now, and then I'll circle back to the other business that just recently opened that we toured their space.
Yeah. So we went and did a grant walkthrough for the Mercantile space, which is on the first floor, to do a draw request, which was great. That coffee shop will be is moving right along. While we were there, we got a tour of the basement. We were originally under the impression there was a fire down there, so there was some significant damage that had been done, and the property owner had reached out to us saying that they were going to be converting that space. It was a very wonky layout originally, but they were going to be converting that space into more like beauty salon, health and wellness type little, I'm going to call them like little boutiques, smaller office space. But when we went down there, it was a complete gut. It was amazing. I thought that they were just going to be taking out a few walls, maybe repairing some ceiling tiles that had gotten some damage, but it was a complete overhaul, huge project. It's going to be, there's going to be washstands down there, washer and dryers, because there's going to be a lot of new hair salons. I believe there's 8 spaces, Cherie, if I'm correct, 8 spaces.
And they're not on lease.
Exactly. Oh, not on lease. It's crazy. It's amazing. I was just so impressed. The layout is, I'm really glad that they took that opportunity to, you know, not just repair. They just said, you know what, it's time. And they just completely gutted it, and that should be done. They're anticipating more like April, May, but that entire building has just had a major overhaul in the last 5 years. And it's so great to see that type of investment. So hopefully we'll be able to tour that space as well. We took some before photos. Well, they're in the middle of construction right now, but if anyone has been down there recently or was down there in the last couple of years, you know that it was almost like a 180 corridor. Exactly. It was amazing. It was very confusing. It was very hard to find businesses. You know, B29 and then B12, and then they were numbered very, very, not, it didn't seem to flow to me anyway. So it should be pretty cool. So we'll have to fill you in on that.
Well, yeah, the thing that's interesting for me is that it's funny what you look at based on your careers. So the floor is cement, and it was just perfect. I mean, there's no cracks, it's smooth, and it's not new.
I thought they poured it. They didn't.
We thought they poured it, and so I was really happy to hear that they're going to do like an acid wash, because you can do it when you have perfect cement like that, and then they have stone walls that are just rocks. Mm-hmm. So they have this organic, anyway, we had no idea. It will be fabulous. And in the Mercantile space, Erin, you'll have to check it out, because their choice of tile is actually, I've not seen this tile before, but they wanted to do something that looked vintage, but at the same time would work with all generations. But what I thought was brilliant is they're putting in a window where, because obviously COVID preparedness, so instead of a drive-up, you have a window that will go up and down and you can get your coffee. So I thought that was pretty smart to build that into their redevelopment too. But the other thing that Rebecca and I did is we went over to the Rivers, and the Rivers is kind of, you know, if you don't know where it is, it's on Front Street and between Court and State. And it's always been thought of as a condo project, residential, but actually it has ground floor commercial spaces. And so Mathnasium is in there, and a vintage clothing shop, and they're putting in a, the operator of Cafe Oasis is going in there with a Cuban coffee, but we'll do sandwiches. And they were saying that the residents have now asked that they do wine and beer, because they would support that, being able to go down in their building on the ground floor and get wine or beer. But what was really fascinating is that we went in the vintage shop, and the guy is just so happy to be there and is doing so well.
And it's not vintage, like, I it's called Vintage Flow, and I assumed it was women's vintage clothing. That typically tends to be the type of, when you have a, you know, vintage apparel, it typically caters to that. But it was, I mean, it is for both genders, but it was mainly geared towards men, I would say. There weren't, like, dresses in there, per se. And vintage, I didn't know there was a market for it, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, Sherry, but he was so excited because he was posting things on social media and was struggling because he would sell them too quickly and wouldn't be able to keep up with, like, his social media posts, which is obviously an amazing problem to have. But I had no idea there was such a large market for, you know, like, old basketball jerseys and things like that, that, you know, the high school, young college students that are just, they're loving it. So it was cool.
Well, he started out in Engelbert Antiques as just having a little, one by one, little section consignment type of thing. But I guess I bring it up because at the last Main Street Association board meeting, they had three individuals that wanted to be on the board. And they asked each of those individuals to talk about their relationship with downtown and their interest in being on the board. And one of them was Angie Oven from the Bridal Shop on Liberty. It's by Ferry. And she was saying that she's been in her location, or she's been in downtown for 23 years, and she just chose to renew her lease because of what she thinks about downtown. And she thinks that even though we have these challenges, it's the right place to be and we're going in the right direction. Now, remember, I'm just listening in on this meeting. She's talking to other people, not to the city. And I was so impressed with her positivity. And then Jessica Rainey, I think she bought or purchased the art department business that's just pretty much right next door to us. And she was talking about why she wanted to do that, how she loves placemaking, how she loves downtown. And then Jackie Healy, who is just a resident within close proximity of downtown, talked about why they chose, when they moved here, to live within walking distance of downtown, that they wanted to go to the restaurants, that they wanted to, you know, to go to the boutique shops. It was really uplifting and very positive. And then going in and seeing James at the vintage shop, hearing how well he's doing. In fact, Angie said that 2020 was her best year ever in Rhode Island. So, you know, we understand there are challenges, but at the same time, when you hear that, it's just so hopeful. So anyway, that is what's happening. I'm still going to leave it on a positive today.
And there are very much, there are very a lot of positive things going on.
Quick question. In front of Boone's Treasury at the corner there of Broadway and I guess where Liberty tees into Broadway.
Yes.
There was kind of a homeless camp there for a while, and it was getting really, really nasty, and garbage everywhere. And then landscaping went in, and some pretty robust landscaping that I've never seen anywhere else in the city. And so I was wondering, was that Boone's or the property owner there that put that in, or did they go through a process with the city, or do you know?
I thought you might be asking about the across the street is like a building that has State Farm in it, and then there's the law offices that are right against a creek, and one single family home that was converted into commercial, and then they took down an eyesore and made it commercial. I thought you were going to ask me about that because we put grants into those, and it's amazing how those three buildings have just really contributed to the vibrancy there. I know nothing. I've seen emails that from the Boones about the homeless situation, but I didn't hear any, I didn't see anything like that. But now I'm really curious, and I will bring you back that. I will research.
They put in like very mature plants and spiky plants and prickly bushes and really filled it in. Like they spent more on the landscaping there than I've ever seen the city spend on landscaping. So I was under the assumption that maybe the property owner paid for it and had it put in themselves. And I think that's probably what happened, but I just wondered if or how the city was involved.
I don't know, but okay. That doesn't mean I can't ask. And I'm always interested in learning myself. Thanks, Aaron.
Mikey, potted plants everywhere. That sounds like a plan.
I think spiky plants, poison oak. What's the other one that has spikes in it? Probably they all are organic. Hummingbirds love it. Yes. Change of scenery. Poison oak would do it for sure.
Now they wouldn't have as many pedestrians wanting to walk by that though.
No. Well, actually poison oak is quite beautiful. That's why people leave it alone and then it grows into trees and they don't understand what it is.
Ah.
Yeah. It's all over the place. And unfortunately living on a farm and getting it so many times because who knows why, I can't remember what it looks like. I now see it wherever I walk.
All right, does anybody have anything else? We're almost at the conclusion of our time. All right, so I guess I will call the meeting over and adjourn it.
Thank you, Linda.
You did great, Linda.
Thank you. I will not critique myself great, but we'll get through it.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for attendance.